Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Well, good morning. For those of you watching live this morning, I'm live with you too from the Vineyard Center. Normally we pre-record our Sunday morning worship services, but this morning we're changing things up, so this should be fun. I hope you've had a really lovely bank holiday weekend for those of you that are in this part of the world anyway. The weather has been fantastic, hasn't it? It's been great, and it's really hard to believe that we're actually about to launch into September and starting back to school and all that good stuff. So as the autumn is literally upon us, many of you are asking, what's the plan for BCV in the autumn? Well, I just wanted to mention briefly, just before we go into our preach this morning, that there are some plans in the works, and we will be making some announcements in the coming weeks. So in the meantime, continue to join us online and join us at Windsor on Sunday afternoon and evening, just as we've been doing. Okay, so shifting gears now. The last few weeks we have explored some areas of brokenness in our culture, and we've looked at what is the kingdom of God antidote to that area of brokenness. Many of the things that we're talking about have been in some way highlighted or accelerated through the pandemic, but if we're honest, they were there long before COVID. Today we're being honest about the reality that we live in a world of isolation, and that what we desperately need is friendship. Each of us in our own way have experienced a level of isolation through this pandemic, whether we're married, single, have children at home, grown-up children, whether we have family living close by or far away, whether we are extrovert or introvert, whatever our circumstances and personalities are, there is a degree we've experienced, all of us, a degree of isolation. But truth be told, even long before the pandemic hit, there was already an epidemic of isolation and loneliness eating away at our society, even in this culture with its warm welcome and hospitality. Those of you who serve in Storehouse will know, because you've seen firsthand what it looks like when isolation meets poverty, displacement, and violence. Those of you who are looking after aging family members or neighbors will know the isolation that many older people face. Those of you who work with young people will know the devastating loneliness that many adolescents and young adults face, trying to find their way in the world without the support of parents and family around them. The list could go on and on, couldn't it? Maybe isolation has affected you personally or your family long before this pandemic. Many of you know that I grew up in Austria. I lived there from about the age of 6 until 17. Culturally, it's very different to Northern Ireland, and one of those differences is how easy it is to meet people and make friends. People tend to be much more reserved in that culture, and it can take a long time to form friendships. I was thinking about this because I was talking to a new friend recently who has been visiting Northern Ireland, and she lives in a country that's quite similar to where I grew up. And we were talking about how hard it can be to make friends, how people in that culture maybe don't invite you around for a meal or for coffee, how it can even be hard to strike up a conversation. And so to her, Northern Ireland was like a breath of fresh air. It's not wonderful. The welcome and hospitality on this island really is something special. It's part of the fabric of this place. There is a reason why people the world over love the Irish. And I, for one, am delighted that I get to live here. I love Austria too, but I'm glad I get to live here. Originally, the title of this talk was, In a World of Isolation, We Need Community. But the more that I thought and prayed about this topic, the more I felt that we needed to drill down a little deeper than the word community. For the purpose of this talk, but also for the unique moment in history that we are in, where social gatherings are still restricted, community just seemed like too big of a word and too big of an idea. You can be part of a community and not really be known. But to be someone's friend is to know the person, to know their name, where they live, what they do with their time, what they're interested in, what way they take their tea or coffee. I chose the word friendship because I really want us to think about not just belonging to a community, an entity, a group, or an organization, but belonging to one another. From the start of the Bible in Genesis, when God says it is not good for man to be alone, and right the way through the scriptures, we see that we were made not just for God, but for one another. God is self-sufficient, but we are not. We need one another, people who will journey with us, who will help carry our burdens, people to laugh with, and people to cry with. I love how C.S. Lewis, our local Belfast boy, talks about Christian friendship. He says, "In friendship, we think we have chosen our peers. In reality, a few years' difference in the dates of our births, a few more miles between certain houses, the choice of one university instead of another, the accident of a topic being raised or not raised at a first meeting, any of these chances might have kept us apart. But for a Christian, there are, strictly speaking, no chances. A secret master of ceremonies has been at work. Christ, who said to the disciples, 'You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you,' can truly say to every group of Christian friends, 'You have not chosen one another, but I have chosen you for one another.' The friendship is not a reward for our discriminating and good taste in finding one another out. It is the instrument by which God reveals to each of us the beauties of others. Jesus has chosen us, not just for himself, but for one another. Perhaps Christian friendship is not just about meeting our needs for companionship, but also about something bigger. Perhaps Christian friendship is not about me picking and choosing my friends, the one that look most like me, the most popular, the most powerful, but trusting that this master of ceremonies has actually strategically placed people in my life. Perhaps it's not an accident that you were in a life group with a certain person, or served on a team together, or parked your car next to each other, or that your faces appeared together on Zoom on an alpha course or something. We are not journeying together at BCV by chance. We have been drawn together, chosen for one another. And yet, the isolation has bitten hard. Our social circles and interactions have shrunk. We've lived in isolation long enough now that for some of us, we're used to it. Some of us maybe even prefer it. However, if we are for one another, if friendship and connection with one another matters, then maybe it's time to open our hearts and our lives up again. As followers of Jesus, we must remember that isolation is not God's way. And if it's not God's way, we need to push back against it. Isolation is the devil's work. Friendship is the work of the Spirit. So how can we partner with the Spirit to pursue spiritual friendships? Friendships that will encourage us in our faith and in our discipleship. This is what Christian friendship is meant to look like. From Colossians chapter 3, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." How many of us find compassion and kindness, forgiveness and patience come easily? Well, I certainly don't. It's hard work. Some of us have been really hurt and mistreated in Christian community. We absolutely need boundaries with toxic people. For sure, we need to be wise and discerning. And yet so often that fear of being hurt again, that fear of rejection, keeps us closed off from potential new friendships. If you are still hurting from something that has happened to you, would you be willing to speak to someone about it? Maybe get some prayer ministry. Take that first step towards healing and even forgiveness. Throughout the scriptures, we see strategic friendships. In our series on courage, I spoke about the friendship between David and Jonathan. They were clearly in one another's life for a reason. What friendships do you see the Spirit of God breathing on in your life? Where do you sense that there's something more than just having similar interests or being a similar age? Which people in your life cause you to want to love and follow Jesus more? Are you intentionally spending time with these kinds of people, cultivating those friendships? Friendship in Christian community, especially at this strange chapter in history that we find ourselves in, is like the little mustard seed of the kingdom. You could easily miss the opportunities. A mustard seed is 1 to 2 millimeters small. It is minuscule. You have to look carefully, or you won't even see it. Maybe that mustard seed is simply meeting someone for a walk or in someone's garden. What if you took initiative and invited someone out for a coffee? What if you invited someone to have a meal with you? Isn't it wonderful that we can do some of these things again now? How we've missed being together and those conversations face to face. This virus is real, and we need to continue to be very careful with one another. And you, as a church family, have done that so well. We're so thankful for your willingness to continue to wear masks when we come together on Sunday and be so considerate of one another. But at the same time, we also need to watch that this pandemic and the isolation that it has brought doesn't cause us to become insulated and walled off from others. We must consider what has been formed in us as a result of being in our own houses and only with our own families for so many months now. Who are we becoming as a result of all this isolation? Sarah's talk last week was so good about the role of encouragement and how we encourage one another in our everyday life. And then before that, Andy spoke about asking questions. I believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, that there's a thread running through these talks about how we give ourselves to and for one another, how we become encouragers, listeners, friends. I sense that there is an invitation there to step into a deeper level of love for one another, a maturing of our relationships, and even a refining of our own character. One of the verses most often quoted about friendship is Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. This verse is saying that you will be used in someone else's life and they will be used in yours. But think about those two bits of iron rubbing up against each other. It's not a nice thing. Spiritual friendship, in spiritual friendship, we get some of those rough edges rubbed off. We become more mature and less selfish. And the truth is, while it's not always pleasant, it's a key part of our discipleship. What will happen to us over the long term if we don't have that iron in our lives? If we are isolated, or if we only hang about with the people we choose instead of being open to the people Jesus is choosing for us? We become like the people we hang around. So who are you spending time with? Do you have friends that sharpen you, that will encourage you to become more like Jesus? These kinds of friendships are just like any other human relationship. They require investment, time, vulnerability, give and take. Sometimes in Christian community, we can think it should be easier. Friendship should just happen, but that's not actually how it works. You've got to water those little mustard seeds. Earlier this week, I caught up with Jen Orr, a leader in the BCV community, and asked her a few questions about her experience of friendship. I was especially curious about the experience of someone who is single at BCV. So here's a little treat for you this morning, a brief interview on friendship with the wonderful Jen Orr.
Well, Jen, thank you so, so much for coming on and sharing a bit of your story on friendship with us today. So I'm just going to ask you a couple of questions, and I just appreciate you sharing your heart. So the first one is, what are the specific challenges to singles in Christian community and in friendship?
Yeah, as you've said already, you know, it is not good for us to be alone, whether you're single or married. And as a single, I guess, it feels like certainly that you have to work a bit harder in doing your part to make sure that you're not alone, as you don't have a ready person sort of living with you, although hopefully you have good family relationships and friendships. But as you said, whatever type of friendship, that it doesn't come about by chance. It requires investment and effort and work and time and care. And sometimes I think the first challenge of being a single in a Christian community is actually getting yourself there, wherever there might be. So whether that's to church or a meeting or a life group. And it's because maybe sometimes it feels like it's all down to you. You've got to do it on your own. You've got to walk into the room on your own. And it can feel like it's all on you to make an effort. It takes courage. And I suppose also how easy or how difficult it is for a certain single person will depend on their personality or even their mood or their well-being at a certain time. Sometimes I imagine that it'd be easier to go into church or a meeting or invite people around for a meal if you had a spouse. But, you know, I imagine it equally can be challenging in different ways. And although being part of a church and placing yourself in Christian community is wonderful and it is life-giving, it can actually sometimes be the very place that rubs it in that you're still single, because all around you can see married couples and families, and especially if that's something, you know, that you desire. And all this said, though, for me personally anyway, it's not all hard all the time. And sometimes I actually find it quite good just to have to think about myself, you know, on a Sunday morning or evening or wherever. And talking about these challenges isn't to make people feel sorry for those of us who are single. It's just giving a taste of what it's like.
Yeah, I really appreciate your vulnerability. It's so, so helpful to hear you talk about that. Tell us a bit about how you have leaned into friendship in spite of those things.
Yeah, so I mean, the word really is vital. Like, it's vital to press into friendship and Christian friendship then as Christians. The alternative, of course, is isolation, as you've said, and we all know that just for starters it negatively affects our health. The main word that came to mind whenever I was preparing for this was choice. It's a choice. It's almost like a discipline. You've got to choose to place yourself in community, and then within that to choose to lean into friendships, because once you place yourself in community, that's where Christian friendships can be found and invested in and growing. And it was hard when I started because it takes time. It takes time to build friendship and it takes time to find your people. But I knew that our church, in this case, BCV, was where I needed and wanted to be, and patience and perseverance and that steady sewing in to friendships, even at the start, pays off. And I know now that here in BCV is my church family and where I do have good friends. Be honest, how I've kept leaning into friendship and into church community in order, it's been actually pressing into and leaning into my friendship with Jesus, because that has ensured that the things that can feel overwhelming or hard as a single person haven't become too much. And because he, you know, in my time with him, as we know in our times with him, he encourages your heart. And because of that, I've had the courage to go to things in church or life groups or wherever, because he's enabled me and comforted me when it's been hard. And to be honest, certainly for me, it's not often a thing anymore that I'm a single in church. Yes, of course, you notice it sometimes and you feel it, but mostly it's not. But I do believe it's because I have been taught and encouraged in our church to go to Jesus with those sort of things. And I remember praying about it a good number of years ago when it was probably harder than it is now, because I've been in BCV for a good few years. He gave me a picture and I sent him saying, when I was thinking about having to walk into church and all alone, I sent him saying, Jennifer, you don't walk in alone. And I had a picture of him walking into Fleming Filton, where we used to worship, like with his arm around me. And that really stayed with me and has steadied me. And I guess time with him just is where he whispers to your heart and steadies you, and that has strengthened me to lean into community and then friendships within that. And I suppose I also choose to go to church every week, unless I'm away, of course, or not well. But it's, for me, it's not up to debate, up for debate. I just place myself in Christian community no matter what's going on. And the same goes for life groups. I think as far as I can remember, apart from maybe one term, I've always signed up to a life group and almost always gone, even when I felt tired or busy or not felt like it, because that's the very place that I have found support and prayer and encouragement, and then those friendships that I've grown over the years, because your life group becomes like your people and where you can start to see if there are people you could develop closer friendships with. And for me, I've always been glad I've done that.
What would you say God has done in you through the friendships that you've developed in BCV?
Well, I guess because of leaning into that community in general and in friendships within our community in particular, whether for a time with people or for a longer friendships that are still going on today, it's not an overstatement to say that God has brought about healing and freedom and breakthrough in my life, as I've chosen to be vulnerable and allow friends to minister to me and to speak over my life and to pray with me and for me. They have been the ones that have walked me through times of illness and bereavement, and hope has been absolutely restored in darker times because of allowing people to speak into my life, to encourage me, to speak prophetically over me or words of scripture. God has done a lot, and I wouldn't be who I am today without people in this church, like many people in this church walking with me and praying with me. And as well as that, just there's the joy and fun then of meeting others and having others to do life with and hang out with for meals and coffees and other things which make life rich and good. And all of that helps to counteract and fight against that isolation that can obviously be a problem in our day.
Wow, I just appreciate so much that you are willing to be so vulnerable about your own journey, and you've said a lot in a short period of time, so thank you so much, Jen, for just, you know, keeping it real, because I think you've just really, you've said some really powerful things. But you've also stated that it hasn't always been easy. And I think that's really helpful to hear. Thank you for persevering, for your courage. We just really appreciate you and everything that you bring to BCV. Thanks for the conversation today.
Thank you.
One of my hopes and dreams for this community is that our friendships would be the kind that C.S. Lewis was talking about, where we are tapping into God's work in our lives, and our friendships really do become a place where the Holy Spirit gets to move. Most of us probably feel like we've got a much more limited capacity after the last 18 months. On our own, the isolation in our world is overwhelming. But what if isolation in our church family, in our city, can be broken down one friendship at a time? I believe together we can move the needle on isolation. We can push back against the kingdom of darkness, one friendship at a time. We just need to make ourselves available to Jesus and what he is doing. He can and will expand our heart for others. He will help us with our anxiety and give us strategies and ways of managing all the demands on our time. Are you open to what He might want to say to you, to what He might want to do in and through you and your friendships? If you're new to our community, we know that it's a hard time to meet people, and we honor your courage of joining us online or stepping through the door of Windsor, and we would love to connect with you. One of the ways you can do that in coming weeks is to sign up for Meet the Vineyard Life Group. Life groups will start up in a couple of weeks, and you're welcome to join any of them, but this group is geared especially towards you, and it's a really good place to start. I also just want to say a word to families, parents of children. One of the biggest challenges in this pandemic to our church has been how we've had to navigate children's ministry. Your children, just like you, need spiritual friendships. For them, they haven't seen their peers in a really long time, probably. We faced it in our household with our two young people. When they're going out to youth, it's who's going to be there? Will my friends be there? So what if, as an acknowledgement of this, you started now by reaching out to a family in church with children of a similar age and arranged to get together so your kids could get reacquainted before kids ministry opens, which we are hoping to be able to do soon. At this time of their lives, your kids are dependent on you to help them with this. So would you prioritize their friendships, their spiritual friendships? Believe me when I tell you this, because I have two teenagers. When your kids get to be teens, you will want them to have Christian friends. And when they get to be teenagers, you can't just take them on any old play date anymore. And while we have lost a lot of ground here due to the pandemic, it is ground that can be won back. But as parents, we need to be intentional and strategic for our children and their friendships. Friendships are sacred for every age and every stage. As I think back over the past 20 years of my time as part of this community, there have been some moments of miraculous breakthrough. And yet, most of the stories of healing and transformation are anchored in friendship, in life together in community. They are the slow and patient work of God through the people of God caring for one another. The people God has chosen for Himself and for one another. I would like to close with something Jesus said to His disciples, the people He invested in intentionally and did life with. From John chapter 15, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other." Let's pray. Jesus, you really are the most wonderful friend. Help us to remain in your love. Thank you that you love us. And help us to love as you have loved. And would you help us now to be available to you and what you're doing? I pray for friendships across this church family of all ages and stages. Help us to love one another well. Help us to be available to what you're doing. We pray for those who are lonely today, who are isolated. Jesus, we pray that you would rescue them from the clutches of darkness. We pray for healing for anxiety and depression. Would you use us to push back against the darkness of isolation, even in the weeks and days ahead? Fill your church with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today, and have a really good week.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.